On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the gospel truth. Today's the end of my third week of teaching on God Wants You Well. And I tell you, I'm excited about this. There are a lot of people that are being blessed as they find out that God loves them, not only in eternity, but right here, that He wants to set them free. And when you start experiencing the supernatural power of God in your body, I tell you, it does something to you. It changes everything. You know, I loved God before I believed it was His will to heal. I loved God when I was told that it was God that killed my dad when I was 12 years old, that it was God that took my grandmother who basically raised me, when it was God who killed a number of people I was with when they died. I still loved God, but you know what? It just caused confusion and perplexed me because there wasn't a single person I knew that if they had power to heal, that they wouldn't have healed my dad, that they wouldn't have healed my grandmother, they wouldn't have healed these people. I mean, even fallen human beings were more merciful and kind. And yet here's God Almighty who created us and has power to raise the dead, and He was just seemingly indifferent towards everyone's plight. It caused confusion. And even though I still said I love God and I did love God, I guarantee you there was a difference when I found out that it was not just words, but in reality, God loves people. He wants you well. The Lord is not pleased with seeing you suffer. It's God's will for you to be well. And when I understood that and started experiencing it, just getting healed of colds, getting my eyesight healed, getting little things healed, you know what? It ministered to me greatly, and it gave me new boldness and confidence. And I can truthfully say that the people who I consider to be mature Christians, one who are really going on with the Lord and are stable, and you can count on them that 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now, they're going to be seeking God and serving God regardless of what's happening. Did you know all of those people that I know are people who are walking in health and believe that it's God's will? They have begun to learn these kind of things. Now, I'm not saying that they do it perfectly, but they have this consistent belief that God is a good God and He wants them well. So that's what we've been teaching about. This week, I'm talking about why isn't everyone healed? If all of the things that I've said are true, which I believe they are, and hopefully I've influenced people to come around and recognize it's God's will for you to be well, then why isn't everyone healed? Now, that's an obvious question. If it's God's will, then why doesn't it come to pass? Well, there's a lot of religious traditions and doctrines that make this harder to explain than it would be. Because there's a lot of religious people that say, well, God's will just automatically comes to pass, that God is sovereign. So the very fact that so very few people get healed must prove that it's God's will that they not be healed. Well, let me just dispel that kind of thinking. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, this very clearly states, I mean, you just can't make it any more straightforward than this, that it is not God's will that any person perish. And yet, people are perishing. Jesus said that there would be more people enter by the broad gate that leads to destruction than by the narrow gate that leads to everlasting life. God's will is not coming to pass as concerning people being saved. It's God's will that every person be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, talking about just Christians, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Jesus paid for the sins of everyone. He wants everyone to be saved. And yet, the vast majority of people aren't saved. Why? Because God's will does not automatically come to pass. God does not impose His will upon us. We have to choose. We have to hear. As it says over in Romans chapter 10, how can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear except somebody preach to them? How can they preach except they be sent? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so you can't believe if you haven't heard. There's a lot of people that haven't heard that it's God's will for you to be well. They've been taught that God's the one that put the sickness on them, that God doesn't heal anymore, that miracles passed away with the apostles. So there's a large number of people that aren't experiencing God's will just because they've never heard, just like there are people that aren't being born again because they've never heard about being born again. They've been raised in a system that told them, you just be the best you can be. Just try and be a good person and you'll be accepted with God. That's not true. It's not what the Bible teaches. And there are people going to hell because they haven't heard. There's people going to hell because they have rejected the truth that they've heard and they've chosen sin or whatever over God. Likewise, there are some people that are not just ignorant about healing, but have been taught wrong about healing and taught that God doesn't want you well. God's the one that puts sickness on you. You're resisting God if you resist your sickness. And because of that, there's people who are sick that wouldn't be sick. In other words, God's will doesn't just automatically come to pass. So as we start talking about why isn't everyone healed, you need to get rid of this fatalistic kind of mentality that, well, if it was God's will, it would just happen. If you use that same logic, well, then it's God's will for every person to be saved, and yet it's not happening. Why? Because they have a choice. You have to believe to receive. If you doubt, you do without. There are people that are going to hell, and it's not because God wills it. In the Old Testament, the Lord says that He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God isn't pleased. God is not this sinister God who is just enjoying turning people into hell. And no, that's not it at all. He loved the world. He gave Himself for our sins. He's put barriers in front of every person's path. If they plunge over that cliff into hell, it's going to be because they have run through every stop sign, every barrier. They've had to climb over a mountain of opposition that God has put in their way, trying to turn them from their evil way. Nobody's going to ever go to hell and shake their fist at God and say, it wasn't fair. God has been more than fair. All He'd have to do to be just is just one time convict us, and yet He's convicted us hundreds and thousands of times, and people just persist and harden their heart and go beyond what God has told them. And I guarantee you, the people that go to hell are people that have, in a sense, forced this issue. They have fought for that right to go to hell. They have intentionally rejected everything that God has put in their way. And likewise, I know that this may be harder for some people to see because more people understand heaven and hell issues than they do sickness and wellness issues. But in a very similar way, for you to be sick, you have to go against what God wants to do in your life. The Lord is trying to release healing into people's lives, but we have been so educated against the supernatural, and we only trust in the natural, that people have shut off this avenue of God flowing His divine power to us. Most people just think that this is weird. I know that there's a lot of people. You know, we reach millions and millions of people. There are probably some of you that are watching this program and hearing me talk about this, and you think, you are weird. You know what? I think you're weird. I think you're weird to only believe that healing can come through a doctor, through a pill, through a test tube, through a needle. To think that that's the only way that we can cope and deal with things and not allow the supernatural intervention of God, that's weird. That's weird. Now, I'll admit this, that if you just take a survey of the average person and what do most people believe, well, then I'm weird to the max. But if you go by what the Word says, if you go by the Scriptures that you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, if you go by James chapter 5 where it says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church and let them anoint you with oil and pray over you, and a prayer of faith will save the sick. If you go by the Word, you're weird if you do not believe in supernatural healing. If you don't believe that God wants you well, because this is what the Word teaches. And the sad fact is most people just haven't heard these things. We have been so dominated by just the natural realm that we don't understand this. So as we start talking about why isn't everyone healed, you need to just understand that God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. It has to be pursued for salvation and also for healing. And there's a lot of people that haven't been taught this approach, and they are staying sick basically by default. It's just kind of a default thing. This is the way that they've been taught. This is natural. This is normal. And they don't even understand that God wants them healed. And so it's not a goal. They aren't pursuing it. You know, let me turn over to Matthew chapter 17 and share this passage with you. This is where Jesus and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, had gone up to the mount, and Jesus was transfigured before them. That's the scriptural terminology. He literally began to radiate light. It's like his physical body was like a curtain that really kept people from seeing who he really was, because you can't see God and live. And the scripture says that. And so this God part of him was veiled, wrapped in his physical body. But when he got into the presence of his Father up on this mountain and began to pray, it's like he pulled this curtain back. And I mean the glory of God, light began to radiate from him. It says it was so bright, it was brighter than anything here on the earth. It was like the noonday sun. He began to radiate this light. And the Shekinah glory of God, a cloud came over him. And there was an audible voice out of the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son." And then Moses and Elijah appeared and talked to Jesus and told him about the crucifixion that he was going to go through and started giving him information. I mean, this was a supernatural experience. And he was up on the mountain with three of his disciples. And after he came down, here's what it says in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic.'" Now, the King James here calls this lunatic. I've studied this in commentaries and other translations, and basically this boy had some type of a seizure deal, something similar to epilepsy. And it says over in Mark's account of this same thing, chapter 9, that he was often thrown into the fire and off into the water. And so it was some type of a seizure thing. The King James calls it being lunatic. This isn't talking about mental. It was a physical type of thing. "And sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water." So it not only says it in Mark, it says it right here in Matthew. And in verse 16, it says, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Now, this is very similar to what's going on today. People are asking for healing, and it's not working. And there's this frustration, and they have this question about, "I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. Why isn't he healed?" Look at Jesus' reaction to this in verse 17. "Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.'" You know, Jesus was trying to train his 12 disciples or apostles to do the work so that when he left, they could continue on. And he said in John chapter 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily," that means truly, truly. In other words, this is such a hard statement to believe, I'm going to have to start it by saying, "This is the truth. This is the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus was training up these apostles to do the same things he did, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, it was a command to do that. He was trying to get his disciples to do the same thing. And yet when he was up on this mountain praying with his Father, the 9 disciples that were left were unable to set this boy free from this demonic power that was causing seizures in his life. And Jesus said, look at how he responded to this, "O faithless and perverse generation." Did you know that Jesus wasn't politically correct? Jesus didn't. You know, today, I don't know how to say this without getting a lot of people upset, but I tell you, you're going to hear the truth, and if you'll receive it, the truth will set you free. We have become such weak people. We have been taught that you can't offend anybody. Everybody wears their feelings on their shoulders so that, you know, we've got all this political correctness. You can't say a person's fat. You have to say that they're weight challenged. You can't talk about a person being tall or short lest you offend somebody. And we've got all of this political correctness that is just foolishness. It is just foolishness to the max. Now, I'm not advocating us going out and using words that just intentionally try and hurt people, but I'm saying that, you know what, there needs to be a restraint on people's part so that they consider other people and don't go out of their way to offend them. But also, you cannot live your life with a chip on your shoulder without that thing falling off sometime or another. You need to deal with what's on the inside of you that's made you so weak and so sensitive to what everybody else has to say. You need to pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up. I tell you what, we need to get tough. The Scripture says over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, when it's talking about being faithful, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know a soldier has to toughen up? When I got drafted, they brought us into basic and they harassed us and they did things to us that were senseless. I remember the day that I graduated from basic. They had us in our dress uniform. They had on our boots that were polished to the max and all of this. And we had some extra time. And they made us walk through the desert. I went to Fort Bliss, Texas, was where I did basic. And I tell you what, whoever named that Fort Bliss had a sorry sense of humor. Amen. I know it was named after a person, but there was nothing blissful about it. And it was hot, and it was over 100 degrees. And they had us walk through this desert and clean up cigarette butts. And we took up trash bags full of cigarette butts, and we got through too quick. We had some more time left. So they took all of these trash cans and went and just scattered them all over this 2 or 3 acre site and made us go through and pick them up again. Just harassment. Just they did things to aggravate you. And one time, I got one of those drill sergeants to the side, and I caught him in a serious moment. And I said, why do you do this? Why do you do these things that are nonsensical? It's just harassment. I said, what's the purpose? And this guy opened up and shared with me. He says, you guys are all going to Vietnam. And he says, close to half of you are going to die in Vietnam. And he says, your mama's boys that have come in here, you've never done any work. You've never done anything. And he says, we've got to toughen you up. And if we don't get you toughened up, if we don't get you to where you can take a little bit of hardship and things like this, you're going to die. You'll be one of the ones that die. He says, you may think I'm not doing you a service, but he says, we're trying to toughen you up. And if you'll get hard, then you might be able to survive. There was a reason for that. Now, I'm not saying that that's the exact way that it should be done, but I'm saying nonetheless, there's a truth there. And we've got people that emotionally are just weak and inadequate, and our political correctness and all of this stuff that we have today is doing nothing but making the situation worse. You know what? Jesus, when his disciples were unable to meet the need, how did he respond? Well, if he would have been politically correct, if he would have been a minister today, he would have said, oh, don't feel bad. It's not your fault. Don't let anybody tell you that it's because you don't have faith. You don't feel bad. You have a good self-image. He would have said, it's my fault. I should have been here. I shouldn't have left you alone. He would have taken the blame. He would have done all these things. That's not how Jesus dealt with it. Jesus said, you faithless and perverse group of people. Amen. He just blasted them in love. Jesus was love manifest in the flesh. And you know what? It's love to tell people the truth. And Jesus was disappointed with his disciples' ability to not meet the needs. When he had already, in Matthew chapter 10, it says, I give you power over all sickness, over all disease, over all demons to cast them out. Go out and preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. God had given them power. He was wanting them to exercise it, and they couldn't do it. And how did Jesus respond? He didn't say, well, it's okay, guys. You're trying. You just pat them on the back and go again. He says, you're a faithless and perverse generation. And you know what? The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus was to show up in his physical body today on the scene, I can guarantee you he would tell his church today that you're faithless and you're perverse. You aren't representing me. You aren't healing the sick. You aren't doing things the way that I did. And some people listening to this program say, but that was Jesus, and we can't do this. Again, I quote John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, if you are believing in me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do. Sometimes people skip right over the works that I do shall you do, and they talk about, well, the greater works are being on radio and television. We're reaching more people. I don't believe that that's what Jesus was talking about, but let's not even discuss that. What are you going to do with the phrase that says, the works that I do? He went about healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, opening blind eyes, deaf ears. He says, the works that I do shall you do also. We are supposed to be seeing the miraculous power of God. And don't think that I'm just condemning you. Every time I point at you, I got three fingers pointing back at me. You know what? If Jesus was to appear, I believe that Jesus loves me. I believe that He would tell me that He loves me. There's things that I'm doing good. But you know what? I don't see the results that I should. He wouldn't just sit there and say, well, it's okay, Andrew. You're doing the best you can. No, the Lord would tell me that, you know what? You could be doing a lot better. You could be seeing more. The Lord would encourage me. He wouldn't condemn me. But at the same time, He wouldn't make me complacent. There's a difference between being condemned and not being complacent. I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I am saying that we are supposed to be representing Jesus. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. His church today is not representing Him. They are not doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. We're only seeing a few people healed, only in a small segment of the church that believes that it's God's will. The vast majority of the church is actually indifferent in saying He doesn't heal today or that He even puts sickness on you, and it's God's will that you be sick. The vast majority of the people who claim to be Christians are misrepresenting God in this area of healing. And I tell you, for you to ever start seeing the power of God manifest in your life, you're going to have to come to grips with the fact that the way we are seeing healing represented and presented by the church today is incorrect. And just like Jesus was displeased with His disciples 2,000 years ago and said, you're a faithless, you're a perverse generation. How long am I going to be here? You need to learn to do this. Jesus is saying the same thing to His church today, that church, you aren't representing me. People are suffering. People are dying. That Jesus wants to heal. And if we were out representing Him correctly and seeing people set free, I guarantee you, not only would those individuals turn to the Lord because of the great things He had done, but man, it would be such a testimony to everybody else that it'd be just like in Jesus' day. They'd have to cut holes in the roof to let the sick in because their churches would be so crowded, so packed out, they couldn't get in because the power of God would be manifest. But today, most Christians are only representing God in word only, and there's not any demonstration of this power. We need to start demonstrating it. You know, it's hard for me on television to demonstrate this. We play things and show you testimonies of people that have got healed. But I want to challenge you today to not only be a hearer of this, but if there is a sickness in your body, if there's something wrong, we've got a number on our screen, our helpline. And we've got people there that pray, and we have seen people raised from the dead through our phone lines. We have seen every type of miracle happen. And I tell you, I believe that God has challenged some of you today to believe. And you say, well, I want to believe, but I just need some agreement. We've got that number. Please call. And also remember that we've got all of these materials on healing that would be a blessing to you. So we've got that information on your screen. Our announcer is going to share with you, and please call or write today and receive these materials and also get prayer.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more.
To get the Better Health Care Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? Is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to encourage you to consider our Charis Bible College. I know that the things that I'm teaching are just radically different than what many people think, and they think, man, there's just so much that I need to know. And you know, really, the best way that I have of impacting a person's life is our Charis Bible College. We not only have our campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 campuses around the world. And we just opened up an online Bible school where you actually go through as a group. You have things that you interact with instructors, and it's a great way to get hold of the Word of God. We've got a phone number that you can call. Please call and check out about our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Summer Family Bible Conference June 28th through July 2nd and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago.
I started getting this bad stomach pain that happened every time I ate something.
She said that the cheekbones were flattened. The nose bone was not visible at all. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit, the was missing from the pinky.
I decided that I was going to run from God, and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
His ribs were busted. His sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
God Wants You Well continues next week on Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.